The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. And you can find that on page 1097 in the Pew Bibles and 1934 in the Big Print Bibles. That's 1097 or 1934, beginning at verse 27. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness to the sins of Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Page 1089 in the Pew Bibles, 1921 in the Big Print Bibles. 1089, 1921. Beginning at verse 19. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have scriptures. We thank you that you speak to us through them. And we pray now this morning, Father, that you will speak to each one of us here, that you will open our hearts and minds to what you would say to us, and that we may be willing to receive and to act on what you say to us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The evening of the first day of the week, Jesus came and stood among them. It's quite difficult to understand what the disciples must have felt like when that happened. Some years ago, Peter had a special birthday, and the relatives, our relatives and friends, said, "Keep the weekend free. We want to celebrate with Daddy." So that was fine. We kept the weekend free. And on the Friday night, we had a message from a friend next door saying, "Would we like to come over and have dinner with them?" And I thought, this is weekend Friday, can I go and have dinner with them? And so I phoned my son in London and said,
Jonathan, is it all right if we go out tonight? And he said, yes, no, that's fine. So we actually dressed up a little bit and went out and to our friends next door. We were welcomed in and given a big hug and a kiss and walked through into their sitting room. Lo and behold, there was our daughter from Australia. 12,000 miles round the world she had come, and we had no idea whatsoever. You can imagine the shock it was. Peter to this day can't really believe that he actually saw her there, except he's seen her many times since. But the shock of seeing somebody there who you really didn't expect gave us a vague idea, and I use the word vague, of what those disciples must have felt like when they suddenly saw Jesus, thinking he was somewhere else, dead in a tomb, and they saw him. It took a while for them to grasp what had happened, to accept that he was really there, and it certainly took us quite a long while to accept that Christine was actually in that room. When Jesus appeared to the disciples and the apostles in that room, he said a few things to them. He first of all said, "Peace be with you." He said, "I am sending you." He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He said, "If you forgive, you are forgiven. If you do not forgive, you are not forgiven." Peace be with you. Shalom. The special meaning of that word. Peace. Wholeness. The Jewish idea of health was holistic. Harmony with oneself, one's body, one's fellow beings, with nature, with God. Those disciples certainly needed it. They were fearful, they were disillusioned, they were demoralized, guilt-racked. After all, they had each and every one run away and deserted him. Of all people, those apostles needed shalom. And I think probably most of us here this morning feel we need that shalom. Shalom is an answer to prayer as a gift from God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It is not assuring us of a quiet life, a peaceable life, but it is assuring us of a life in which God is always with us. Jesus breathed on them. His breath came out so they knew he was alive. They knew he was there. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," so that they would be able to go out and do what he wanted of them. He said, "If you forgive, you are forgiven. If you do not forgive, you are not forgiven." And forgiveness is a central aspect of our corporate life as a congregation, the body of Christ. If we don't, or we won't forgive others, then God's not going to forgive us. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." He commissioned them and he strengthened them for their forthcoming task of mission, going out on his behalf. For each one of us here this morning, every single person here this morning, we are here in the context of a gathered church, a wide range of people, wide range of ages. And it's in this context of a gathered church, when Jesus comes among us, that we, each one of us, can receive healing that we so often need. And here, in this context, we may also receive our calling to mission, to go out and to tell others. And we will be given the strength to carry it through. After all, mission is what it's all about. It's what the church is here for. We had those words at the end of the Gospel, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That life that we have in his name is to be lived out in a community that seeks for God in our troubled world and enables others to find God through Jesus Christ. Our life as the community of God should enable those we come in contact with to find that peace and that security, that we know as part of the living body that is following in Jesus' footsteps. And I wonder how well this morning do each one think we're living up to being that sort of community, the body of Christ in Chiltern and in Harwell. We can't do this alone. Thomas had his doubts, and he knew Jesus well. It was Thomas who, during Jesus' ministry, had feared the worst would happen. It was Thomas who said, "Let us also go that we may die with him." And, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" In that room a week later, Jesus did not single out Thomas for special criticism, but met him where he was, doubts and all. Thomas was reassured that his relationship with Jesus had indeed survived the cross, and he was then helped to work through his doubts and emerge stronger spiritually. Perhaps hearing this story can help us all to grasp something important about faith and doubt and how they are related. For faith is not something abstract we have to summon up in order to suppress any doubts and difficulties we may encounter on our spiritual journeys. Rather, faith may be seen as a trust in a person, in the person of Jesus. Seen like that, faith is our response to Jesus' love for each one of us. Then, or when we have our doubts, that in itself is not sinful. Doubt only becomes a problem if we keep it to ourselves and are not open about it, but hold on to it to the extent that doubt dominates our way of life. But I suggest that doubt is never meant to be a permanent condition. It should encourage us to think. It's okay to be open about doubt, to discuss it in the context of our relationship of trust. This seems to be what Thomas was eventually able to do. Tackling it like that can enable us to move on, just as it helped Thomas to move on. In the passage we heard read from John, Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." I believe he said this not as a criticism of Thomas, but as an encouragement to you and to me, 2,000 years on, that we too can believe by faith, even if we have not seen. Thomas, who set out to be honest with his fellow disciples and with God, received his answer. The need for honesty with himself, with others, and above all, with God. To come with an open mind to God. The sort of prayer that says, "Lord, if you are there, help me to believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Of course Thomas wanted to believe. And there will be many people this morning here with different doubts and fears and worries and concern. We want to believe. We want to trust. But the Holy Spirit can give us that inner conviction that God is there. That he does hear, he does understand, and he will answer if we go to him. "Lord, if you are there, help me to believe. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." It was the reality of the resurrection that finally convinced those early disciples of Jesus' divinity. It was through their relationship with a risen Lord that the lives of those early disciples were changed beyond recognition, and people around them were changed. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have Peter. We have Peter who denied his Lord, said 3 times, "I don't know him, I don't know him." Yet now, he's unafraid of arrest and imprisonment, and he's really quite cheeky to those who are accusing him, in effect saying they've got it all wrong, and that he, together with the apostles, were going to obey God rather than the Jewish authorities. Peter has learned enough about himself to be humble in his witness as well. He knows that it is the Holy Spirit that guarantees the truth of what he is saying. just like Peter and the other disciples, there are times when we will remember and we will trust what God has done for us. And there are other times when we will doubt. Sometimes we speak with conviction and in full belief of what God has done for us. And at other times we will perhaps stutter, panic, and really wonder where it's all going. The real witness to the resurrection power of God is God himself, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the life giver, is the one who continues to bear witness to Jesus, who was crucified and rose again on the third day. The Spirit carries on doing this quietly, inexorably, and by God's grace, we are asked to join in and to tell others about what we have seen and what we have heard. We can give our testimonies about what God has done for us in our lives, however feeble we may feel, and we can rely on the power of that Holy Spirit to make God present. We too are called to enjoy our relationship with the risen Lord, so that like those early disciples, we also may have life in his name. But these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. May we too believe and trust and enjoy all the interest and the challenge that this new life in Christ brings to each one of us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we can learn from it. And we thank you for this new life that we have in Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would now be with each one of us here this morning. Those, Father, perhaps who are doubting, those who have issues on their mind, Father, that we may bring them to you. Bring them to the risen Lord, knowing that the Holy Spirit will guide, direct, and enable us. Not necessarily to be easy, Father, but may we know that peace, that shalom, of knowing Christ is with us through it all. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.